have a good guess for you tonight. First off, those with computers that want to go online, go to www.newswithviews.com. Her name is Mary Starrett. A couple of articles will appear that she has written. She's had her own radio show. Very outspoken. And about the media, we're going to discuss a couple of issues. One, which is the media, including myself. Let's welcome to the show Mary Starrett. Mary, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine. Well, you got a first-hand capsule of my first couple of minutes, so regardless of whether you know where I stand or not, kind of is irrelevant, but nonetheless, you know the type of a show that I do.
Well, I think I probably agree with you on about 99% of the issue so far from what I've heard, so we're on the same page.
Well, even if we weren't, that's fine, too. But nonetheless, we only have about a minute before we have to take a break here. So before we get into anything media-wise, quick question. Number one, do you believe, I didn't say do you want, but do you believe that the United States and Great Britain will go to war against Iraq eventually this year?
Unfortunately, I believe that this has been in the works for a long time, and so I think it is, unfortunately, an inevitability because, as I said, this is not something that began with 9-1-1. The plan for this has been in the works. It's been highly choreographed, and I think there's so much intrigue about this that, unfortunately, it's got more to do with getting rid of Saddam Hussein and a lot more to do with Exxon and Mobil and Shell.
Now, I've done many shows on this, and, you know, you have, and I mentioned this, briefly, that when you have war demonstrations going on, such as the Vietnam War, and now a little bit of this in the last couple of weeks globally, let alone in the United States, it splits the country. And that's a bad thing to have the country split, because all of a sudden, if you're for a war and I'm against it, then you're my enemy, which is absurd, but that's the way we react as humans.
Well, look at how we're being divided. We're being divided and hyphenated, and it's blacks against whites, it's Hispanics against Anglos, it's Christians against non-Christians. We are being so fragmented, and I think it's by design because we're not Americans.
Well, you know...
We're not Americans anymore.
Well, that's true, and at the same time, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, our guest is Mary Starrett. If you want to go online to find out who she is, newswithviews.com. And click on her name, and we will be discussing many things, including people in the media, especially on radio and some that have television shows, and the direction that they are swaying you, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm Lee Klein. You are listening to KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
I'm not a...
KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Our guest is Mary Starrett. www.newswithviews.com. One of the articles I want to talk about, she entitles Going, Going, Gone, Why Fewer Choices for Radio Listeners Equal a Threat to Your Liberty. By the way, am I pronouncing your last name correctly, Mary?
It's Starrett. Rhymes with carrot.
All right, Starrett. I'll call you Mary.
All right, call me Mary.
All right. It's interesting because as you were once a part of the media based on the fact that not only do you write, you had a show on radio, correct?
Right. I was in television for 21 years. In the last 5 years, I did a radio talk show in Portland, Oregon, and that was ended about 2 weeks ago.
And the reason for that, if I can ask?
Well, the reason for that is that the network that I work for, like so many other networks, in trying to save money, went with a syndicated format and got rid of local talk. So what you have is more of a homogenous, same voice. If you're syndicated in all these different markets, you get rid of the local, more controversial, if you will,
mm-hmm.
local talk, and you've got sort of a formula in every radio market that you're in.
Well, listen, you're on a clear channel station, need I say any more?
Exactly.
based on that, I mean, the industry has gone this way.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to the FCC days of not that long ago, you were not allowed to own X amount of radio stations to begin with, no matter who you were. You were not allowed to own more than one television station in the market. Today, here in Los Angeles, you have Channel 9 and Channel 2, both are CBS owned by one company. And Infinity Broadcasting, and you know, then you take a look at ABC Cap Cities, which is all under the Disney umbrella with ESPN, ABC. Basically, like everything else in the world, you have about three companies controlling the manufacturing of everything.
Well, exactly, and as you mentioned, before 1995 and the Telecommunications Act, you had one company, one concern, couldn't have more than 40 stations. Now you've got 10,000 fewer radio jobs and 1,000 fewer station owners in 7 years. So you've got few companies pretty much controlling what people are hearing.
Well, I agree. I've always thought this because I've been in radio. I know this. I see this. And nobody's going to suggest otherwise. However, I'm going to broaden just, not for our topic tonight, but I just want to broaden the statement that it's not just in broadcasting, that goes for whether it's fast food, whether it's beverages, whether it's aircraft, whether it's making of missiles. There only, where there once were 20 jobs to go to, 20 different doors to knock on, there's only about three left because those three bought the other 17.
Well, look at Home Depot. You no longer have the neighborhood hardware store. You no longer have the neighborhood job.
Well, Walmart's the same thing.
Exactly.
Well, so, that, you know, this is the way our society, even though I think that old school is better than new school, but, you know, you have a society that is far removed from me at this point of life that runs the earth and therefore does not take into consideration any kind of history or basically human beings as far as I'm concerned.
And yet you can understand when it's basically a financial decision why it's being done. However,
but it's always a financial decision, and the bottom line is it's. And I'll say it again. I've said it before. If you are a shareholder of a company, they will treat you better than if you are a worker for that company.
Absolutely, but when you're talking about the media, Lee, and you're talking about radio, you've got fewer choices, fewer voices, fewer opportunities to hear your viewpoint when you're dealing with a corporation that perhaps believes that syndicating, and it is, at bottom line, it's cheaper to go with a syndication.
Well, take a look at your television shows. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I don't know what Ricky Blake has to offer anybody, but she's syndicated. I also know that Montel Williams is on the... I mean, it's the same formula for television and has been for the last decade because those shows are cheap to produce and easy to syndicate.
When I first got into television and was working in Portland, Oregon at the ABC affiliate in 1980, we were producing a locally produced, a local magazine show, which cost enormous amounts of money. And then you wound up seeing something like that, which talked about the local people and personalities, and you replace it with something which is any number of these syndicated shows. You take away the local flavor of your television station.
Well, we're fortunate here in Los Angeles that on KFI, as an example, we're the number one AM station here in Southern California. During the day, I will give you the schedule because we're going to talk about some of these people. We have Rush Limbaugh on. Then we have Dr. Laura. Both are syndicated shows. And then we go live to a show, John and Ken, that's on from 3 to 7. And then it's back to syndication for the rest. So during the week, we have two live shows that are on. And then we start the day with Bill Handel, which is on at 5 in the morning until Rush at 9. So we have a 5 to 9 show that's live and then a 3 to 7 show in drive time both that are live. On weekends, everything, for the most part, with the exception of maybe one show each day, is also done live, such as this show here. We have other stations here in town that also do talk, and they have similar formats, but there is some local and live programming throughout the day so that people here in the second largest city in the country can get their ears filled with whatever it is they believe or want to believe or hate.
But do you believe that there is enough of a representation of everybody's point of view?
Well, first off, you know, it's the old statement, if you put 10 people in a room, you're going to get 11 points of view. I'm not arguing your point, but where's the breaking point where enough is enough and too little is too little?
Well, the whole point is that for those who think that, well, perhaps Limbaugh or Hannity or Bill O'Reilly is representing them, we know that that you can consider right light. In other words, it's sort of a watered-down version of conservative thought. So you're not really getting anymore a representation of conservative thought, for instance.
All right, so what you're saying is when you start naming the... And correct me if I'm wrong about your opinion on this. This is not mine, but this is yours. Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, just using those four as an example,
mm-hmm.
would you classify them all as just the same, four different mouths with the same words coming out?
Yeah, and again, for those who like to say, well, they represent the right, they represent conservatives, they don't.
All right, now who do they represent?
I think what it is when you have nowhere else to go, when you have no one else that represents you on the radio, and you listen to Rush Limbaugh or you listen to Michael Savage, you are told that they represent you, but they really, really don't.
But in reality, the people that are anti-Rush, if you will, they're not going to listen to him, or they're going to listen to him and hate him for what he is saying or despise him for what he is saying, and so he's not going to convince those hardliners that think opposite.
Well, you know and I know that according to Radio Research, Lee, the people who disagree with a host listen a lot longer than the person who agrees because they're so infuriated by it.
Well, you should read some of my email. I get it both ways.
Yeah.
But and also on the air. But I try to be fair for the most part, you know, not 100%, but 90%, which is more than I can say for Rush. I mean, basically, Rush, to me, just using him as an example, but not because he's on the station, is so, you know, it's over a decade of the same rhetoric over and over again. At least I make the attempt to have my points of view change based on each independent issue that rises. That I could feel A and A and A towards one situation, but maybe B towards another.
Yeah, but have you noticed that all these guys like Limbaugh and Hannity and O'Reilly, there is not an original thought among them. Now, I approach this from a, if you will, far right, not a liberal perspective. So I'm not saying I don't like these guys because they're not liberal. I don't like them because they're not conservative enough.
Because they're not conservative enough. Boy, there's a statement for you.
Exactly. So they're not speaking for me, even though I'm told these guys are, you know, they're your guys. They're not my guys. You listen to Michael Savage lately. I just wrote a piece for the Portland Tribune, which basically talks about this new movement which is going on, StopHateRadio.org, which is trying to get Michael Savage off the air in Portland at KXL. They succeeded in getting him off the air at KUGN and Eugene, saying that it's hate rhetoric. Well, what the left does is anytime they don't agree with anything ideologically, you just simply slap the word hate on it, and you can get rid of people that way.
All right, let's put a hold on it right now because we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to our guest, Mary Starrett, as in carrot. No, that would be Starrett, as in carrot. She is up in Oregon. Again, if you would like to go to the website, it is www.newswithviews, and her name appears there along with other authors. Click on to her. She is very well versed in her subject matter. We shall return and talk more about the media. I'm Lee Klein, and you are listening to KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Benjamin Dover.
Do you know how to tell if your insurance company is about
stimulating talk radio?
Welcome back to KFIM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Lee Klein with you to 1 o'clock in the a.m. Our guest tonight is Mary Starrett. Once again, the website address, she writes for newswithviews.com, and we are discussing the media, or maybe kind of torching the media tonight, Mary, which is fine by me. Torch away.
All righty. Well, I guess my big beef is that when people say that talk show hosts like Limbaugh and Savage and Hannity and O'Reilly represent the conservative view, they lose sight of the fact that there are an awful lot of, quote, conservatives, the real conservatives, if you
want
to call them.
Stop. I got to ask you, what does conservative mean? Tell my audience what you think, because everybody's dictionary in their head is different.
perhaps the word conservative has lost its oomph. I guess what we would like to do at this point is maybe say more constitutionally based. And while people who, like Hannity, call themselves conservatives, obviously they're not. In other words, the original definition of conservative, that doesn't hold any water anymore, because look at who's calling themselves conservative, President Bush, and he's not. So my beef is that these people do not represent the, quote, the original paleo-conservative, if you will. It's more of a neo-conservative.
All right. Give me an example, then, under your dictionary terms of what conservative means. Who would you say out there is conservative for real?
All righty, let's talk about Pat Buchanan. Now, here's somebody who stepped forward against the war, not for any other reason except if you look at the Constitution and what the founders had in mind, we were not, as he points out, designed to be an empire. We were designed not to play Globocop. We were designed to mind our own business. And he points out that what we're doing is we are building an empire because we're involved in so many different conflicts and so many different places. And Pat Buchanan represents what I believe is the original conservative, the pure conservative, thought.
All right, now let's go back 20 years and go to the Reagan administration. What would you say about Ronald Reagan?
I would say, and you know, it pains me to say this because I've been a total Ronald Reagan fan since 1968. I mean, I was watching what this guy was doing in California when I was just little. But looking back on some of the things that Ronald Reagan did, I have to say that maybe at the time it appeared he was, but in retrospect, this guy was breaking ranks with you know, some pretty solid conservative thoughts.
All right, so you would put him in the conservative category for sure.
I would put him in the conservative category with some qualifiers.
All right,
definitely.
All right, let's go back, and since we're talking Republicans with Pat Buchanan and Ronald Reagan, let's go back even further and let's talk about, very briefly, about Richard Nixon.
Unfortunately, I have to say that I can't really think of anybody in recent history who would embody what I like to define as the essence of conservative thought would be, as I said, adherence to the Constitution as the last word. Nixon didn't do it, and really Reagan didn't do it. Certainly Bush isn't doing it.
Well, what would you say, from what you know from history, about John Kennedy and his brother, Bobby?
Well, again, what I know is that these guys were also involved in you know, basically skirting the issue and, you know, doing some backroom stuff, which, again, flies in the face of what this republic was set up to be, and that was, in other words, they work for us. We are not subject to them.
Well,
so I would have to say Kennedy is definitely, you know, definitely qualified.
All right. What about George Bush Sr.?
George Bush Sr., very frankly, frightening. This was the guy who we first heard the term New World Order, or perhaps in recent history coined the term New World Order. This was the guy who is so involved with the Bin Laden family, so involved with shady geopolitical stuff, that to see what he did, and now to see what I like to call the president, I like to call him Bubba, in that what he is doing is getting away with a whole lot more than Clinton could ever get away with, because conservatives look at him, think he's our guy, and so we don't criticize him.
Do you think that's only because he's under the flag and banner of the Republican Party, and that's really what helps him out get away with this then?
Absolutely. There is no way that Bill Clinton could have gone away with the Patriot Act, Homeland Security, some of the stuff he's doing, especially with Iraq. There is no way that Bill Clinton could have gotten away with that, because, you see, the conservatives, quote, would have been the first ones to say, everything you're doing is basically unconstitutional. And yet, because he's called a Republican and a conservative, we just sort of, you know, we just kind of shut up.
That's interesting. I'm thinking to myself, when I said that it's interesting, a thought came across that I'm not going to sing on the air, but it just knee-jerked me to say that's interesting, because in a way, you and I are so different, and yet we feel the same way, but the tags, and I don't like tags being put on anybody, because I'm not a conservative, and I'm certainly not liberal, although most people out there, and I should say most, a lot of people really think that I am. In reality, I'm not. But I don't consider myself that much of a conservative, because I don't like terms put on anybody. I like to, because I can be liberal about one thing and very, very, very conservative about another.
Yeah, but those terms don't mean anything. As we just said, the Republicans are obviously doing worse things than the Democrats ever thought of doing. Conservatives are not really conservative anymore. And so what you have to do is use some new terms. And the new terms are the old ones. And that's either you're a constitutionalist, or you're, maybe you want to call yourself a libertarian. But to say that there's a difference between the Republican and the Democrat Party at this stage of the game is an absolute, it's a fallacy.
All right, let me ask you something about yourself. I'm certainly not going to ask a female her age, so I won't do that. But I will say, or certainly ask you, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York, born and raised.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
A Brooklyn girl and winds up in Oregon?
Well, from Brooklyn to Boston, and worked in TV there, worked in TV in North Carolina, worked in TV in up near Seattle, and then finally landed in Portland, and for 21 years I worked at television there.
What did you do there?
I hosted a morning AM Northwest, a morning talk show for 12 years. I was the host of that. I was the host of an evening magazine program called Faces and Places. I've been a news anchor, a medical reporter.
All right, stop. Before the news anchor, go back to the AM shows and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, I'm guessing, and I'm not being rude, so don't take it that way, more fluff than substance for the most part.
Oh, yeah, we would do, you know, holiday placemats and fun with yarn, and never once did I venture into politics.
Okay. That's understandable. Now, the crossover, you said that you were a news anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you can't express your own points of view being a news anchor. You just have to read.
Right. What I found, Lee, and I'm sure that you've witnessed this, is that when you are working for an affiliate station, or when you are working for a corporation, and you are basically to keep it straight, to play the game, not to criticize anyone, if you see that there are things going on that you cannot play straight, in other words, you can't lie about it anymore, and you get to the point where you can't do that, you basically have to make a choice. And you have to say, I'm either going to sit here and lie to people every night or every morning, or I'm just going to go find another venue, which is what I chose to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I shouldn't say I try. I am honest. Those that believe it, fine. If you don't believe it out there, that's their problem. I can't worry about what people believe. I've said this on many occasions. I don't want to be a shepherd. I just don't want people to be sheep out there of what's going on. I at least try to throw things out there, have guests on, discuss those things, and let the people and the audience out there make up their own minds based on what they've heard elsewhere, what they hear here. I'm just giving them information. They can digest it, and they can regurgitate it, or they can swallow it. It's up to them.
That's all you can do.
But the best that I can do, which I can honestly say, is more than you hear on a lot of other shows. I'm not saying I'm the world's greatest, but I am saying I give more of an opportunity than most.
Well, that's really all you can do. It's like a smorgasbord. Here it is. Take what you want, put it on your plate, and hopefully you'll go learn the recipes to all the things you like.
Well, this is what I don't like. And the names that you put, Rush, Michael Savage, Sean Hannity, and Bill O'Reilly. Now, you have Rush, who once had a television show, who no longer has one. It was very short-lived. Bill O'Reilly does both. You know, you do have quite a few people that have a lot of influence for those that are sheep and can't make up their own minds. And that does bother me, because we are living not only in a dumbed-down society, we're also living in a cattle-led society that if you happen to have the loudest voice, or you happen to be on the most, or look the part, feel the part, or work the part, you will get your own audience as a barker in a carnival will get people into their tent. And that's frightening, based on the fact that people are being either led or misled in other people's beliefs without making up their own mind and logic and reasoning.
Well, they sit in front of the television night after night. It's like there's a tube filled with sludge that goes from the television right into their heads, and they wouldn't question Bill O'Reilly or Tom Brokaw if their lives depended on it, because somehow they believe it's got to be gospel truth if it's on television.
Well, you know, one of the reasons that Lyndon Johnson refused to run for office in 1968 is when Walter Cronkite, who probably was, you know, Mr. Believability of all time, when he came back from Vietnam and said that the war we were losing, it was unfair, it was unjust, when Lyndon Johnson heard him say that, he knew that it was over for him. And so the impact that even Walter Cronkite had an impact on our president.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, that's a fact that I'm stating. So there always have been people in, whether it be Walter Winchell in the 40s, there always have been these types of people. Who would you say, we're going to take a break right now, just give me a quick name. Who do you think is the most influential person on radio or television when it comes to swaying people about politics?
Well, I have to say Rush Limbaugh, unfortunately.
Okay. We're going to come back to that. I'm also going to open up the phone lines. If you have an opinion to express about our conversation about radio, television, the media, by all means, whether it's about Rush, whether it's about myself, whether it's about our guest, your opinion does count. So I'll open up the phone lines as usual at 520-1KFI, and outside of L.A. and outside of the state of California, at toll-free, 800-520-1KFI. Lee Klein is my name. Mary Sterrett is our guest, and you're listening to KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
But your dishes in your dishwasher, not your motherboard, Michael.
Computer Class 101 was never like this.
If you're real serious about gaming, you don't want a flat screen. The wildest thing I've ever seen was this little metal dot. You peel it off and you stick it on your forehead, and then as you move your head, the mouse cursor moves.
Tomorrow, 3 to 5 p.m. on KFI AM 640.
Yeah, deep bragging is good. It's like high colonic. It's a good thing to do every once in a while.
More stimulating talk radio.
Traffic presented by Mercedes-Benz.
It is 10:46 in the KFI Traffic Center. LaSalle Park, part of L.A., on the 2 southbound just before San Fernando. Solo crash there. Car spun around sideways, blocking the 2 left lane. Got to watch out. Somebody else may hit that. Glendale, 210 West before Pennsylvania. Wrapped up a crash there where a car lost it, went over the side. Sig alert continuing to Seal Beach, 405 south past the 22. Up to 7 cars involved in the crash there, blocking the carpool and a couple of the left lanes. Same general area, Seal Beach again, 405 south at the 605. 2 car wreck, that's taken out of the right lane. Zero Fun Card is back, pay for a day and come back the rest of 2003. Get your fun card before April 30th and receive a bonus pack filled with great park savings.
I was so disappointed.
I knew he was disappointed, so I clicked on the Tuna banner when I heard this ad.
I asked a couple of my friends about it.
Secure private online ordering, no doctor visits and great prices. Just a click away.
My friends told me to click on the banner when I heard this ad.
My friends told me about
anything different or anything. There's so much information out there that people could take and run with, but they don't.
Let's take a couple of calls here before we go to the top of the hour, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start out in Wyoming, and let's talk to Don. Don, welcome to KFI.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the lady for her courage and what appears to be an independent study. I think she's on a lifelong search for truth, as I am, and I have found out through independent means that what she says is true.
Okay, just elaborate a little bit more about your search.
Well, I'm just a political science major, now back to being a cowboy on a ranch in Wyoming. So I have a lot of time to think about things, a lot of time to read. And there was a former FBI agent by the name of Cleon Skousen. He was under Hoover. During that period of time, they found out that there was a conspiracy to overthrow the United States government. And it had to do with the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations. When I was about to be drafted into Vietnam, we had Henry Kissinger telling the President of the United States, Nixon, not to use a nuclear weapon in Hanoi. And then and now, I'm convinced that we would have not had 58,000 of my fellow servicemen or women killed in that. It wasn't a war, it was a police action.
Mm-hmm.
I've studied the Federalist Papers, and I've studied the Constitution of the United States forward, backwards, and sideways, and I'm convinced that there is a conspiracy to overthrow it. I think we need to stick with the Founding Fathers' principles and beliefs. We need to keep to ourselves, not try to be a policeman of the world. We need to avoid the situation where there's a large corporation in close association with big government, and sadly there always has been a close association between large corporate concerns and lobbyists and big government. If we go back to the founders' principles and beliefs, we're going to have freedom. If not, we're going to have a tyranny. And I'm afraid that it's in the era of ignorance that tyranny begins. We aren't taught in our schools anymore, in grade school, middle school, high school, or even college, unless you're a poli-sci major, about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and Freedoms. I picked up the McNeil Lehrer report, Jim Lehrer, yesterday on a PBS station. They were doing their damnedest to attack Michael Savage, which is basically killing the messenger. He had a message, Cleon Skousen had a message, and even the president of the LDS Church, former president and prophet, Ezra Taft Benson, who was a libertarian, and that's not a very well-known fact. That libertarian knew that there was a conspiracy to overthrow this country and to merge us with Russia and merge us in a new world order, one world government.
I heard George W.'s
speech back before Desert Storm and Desert Thunder, and when he said New World Order, it chilled me to the bone.
I'm not trying to cut you off, but I understand where you're going, and I appreciate the call and the thoughts. Mary, my question to you, and we have done conspiracies on this show for the last 2 years. Do you think that, for real, that we are too conspiracy prone in this country, that no matter what is said, you're going to have conspiracy theorists just pop out of the woodwork no matter what?
All right. Well, first, I have a problem with the supposition that a conspiracy theory is on its face going to be untrue. Because if you look at the definition of conspiracy, it means that two or more people got together
and conspired
to come up with something that was illegal or immoral. Now, a theory just means it hasn't been proven to be fact. But if you look at the fact that now people are coming up and there are over 5,000 unanswered questions about 911, there are still unanswered questions about Waco or TWA 800 or Vince Foster. So anyone who brings up those topics is immediately labeled a conspiracy theorist, and that's one way we can dismiss the question.
No. I am in agreement with what you're saying, and that is a basis for a lot of my shows that I go with, is what you're saying. I'm in complete agreement. But take it that there are people out there that no matter what is said, that the government is not to be believed, no matter what it is, and there is a conspiracy behind it. And some of these conspiracies, to me, not all, but some of them, are really like aluminum foil on your head type stuff.
Like what? Like what?
Well, all right. We've done shows on Flight 800. I believe, without going into it, that certainly it could have been friendly fire. It could have been a lot of different things that we're never going to know. I'll give you another example. This is not about the aluminum foil. But last week we had a guest on that I don't want to believe or didn't believe in the fact that we have a secret agreement with the United Nations, that the United Nations is going to have their troops take over this country.
Well, let me just say that sometimes things that are too horrible to believe, it's just so much easier, and I myself have been guilty of this, to just say, I'm not going to go there. That can't be true.
Well, I don't say emphatically no on most things. I mean, I leave the door wide open, but not everything somebody else says or has a theory about means it is true.
No, but then what you do when you hear a thing, when you hear something like that, you take a look at the facts. You take a look at the fact that we've got troops stationed all over the world, 50 different places, and we keep sending more and more away. So if we don't have any troops here domestically, who would be the natural, next in line to...
Right, but that's the end of our country, that's the end of our government, and that's the end of guns.
And exactly.
Is that going to happen? Mary, be realistic. Is that going to happen?
I pray it won't.
Will it happen, though?
If we stay on the continuum we're going on, I don't see how it can't.
Okay, and will it happen in the next year or two, then?
In the next year or two. Gosh, I don't know. That's like saying, when's the date for Armageddon?
Well, that's because the reason why I'm saying that, because if that happens, that would be the end of the United States, the end of the Constitution, the end of our government, the end of our country as we knew it for 200-plus years. That's the end. We won't even have an election in the year 2004.
But you see, the thing is, Lee, is that we don't have to have this one cataclysmic event which makes the Constitution null and void. Little by little, with the Patriot Act, Homeland Security, all this...
I asked you about... about whether or not you think that the United Nations troops, which basically are we, and we're not even getting along with the United Nations right now.
What's your question, then?
My question is the United Nations troops going to take over this country, and we will have to turn all of our weapons over, and we will not have an army anymore?
Okay, that's a whole big, there's like a 5 different arguments in there. But my answer to your question was, if we continue sending our troops everywhere except here, we've got more and more UN presence in this country as it is.
I don't disagree with that. In fact, the AWACS that flew the days that nothing else was able to fly in this country after 9/11 is proof of that. Also, the fact that we're sending our troops now in just the last 48 hours, we're sending a couple of thousand over outside of Mindanao, which has been in communist hands and Muslim hands for the last umpteen years. We're sending troops there. And we're also going to be sending new troops to Colombia. Yes, Colombia. That and much, much more when we come back. We're at the top of the hour right now. Our guest is Mary Starrett. We are talking about the media. I'm Lee Klein, and you are listening to KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
Matt Drudge. Go to all the AOL Time Warner umbrella products.
Back here at KFIM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Mary Starrett is our guest. We're talking about the media. You know, it occurred to me during the break, Mary, that we're both on the same page with this, and we both have a little bit different backgrounds, but nonetheless, we're, you know, media driven and being in this business. And I concur with your situation to your scenarios overall. What I find a problem, and certainly not with you, is the fact that we can talk about this for 24 hours a day for 7 straight days, but it's not going to make a dent in the scenario and final outcome of what's happening with corporate business and with their viewpoints and their big deep pockets of how they really run government.
Well, that's where I disagree, because I think what happens is that after a while, people who are told these are your only voices, If they don't make some kind of a noise, in other words, as you know, it's a commodity, and if you can't sell a product and people aren't going to buy it, they're going elsewhere. They're already going to the internet. They're also going to independent newspapers. If enough people get tired of the homogeneity of what they're hearing on television and radio, they're going to shortwave. They're going to internet radio. They're going other places, because there are critical thinkers out there.
No, I agree. Those that have the intelligence, the IQ, the knowledge of history, yes, those people will avoid and find or create or make new windows and doors to open up. That I agree with you on. But for the mass, I mean, you're not going to get rid of Rush Limbaughs of the world. You're not going to get rid of the O'Reillys of the world unless they do something or say something really stupid that offends such a major part of our audience that they're taking off the air.
Well, look at what the concerted effort, in other words, there was so much anger towards Dr. Laura Schlesinger over her comments about homosexuality that there was this concerted effort to get rid of her television show, to attack her sponsors, and now they're doing it to Michael Savage. While I don't agree with Michael Savage, I don't think we have to get rid of anyone. What we have to do is say, these people don't represent me, so I'm going to support the perhaps controversial talk show host who does represent me.
Did you ever listen to Art Bell?
No, I never did.
Really?
Well, because he's on, you know, way past my bedtime.
Right, you need that beauty sleep, don't you?
This is way past my bedtime, Lee.
All right, let's take a few calls here. Let's go to Alan in West Los Angeles. Alan, welcome to KFI.
Hi. I was going to say, my talk show host for decades was Michael Jackson here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
He was my favorite. Very, he tolerated all points of view, although he's a more moderate liberal Democrat. I think we need a regime change both in Baghdad and in the White House. A little facetious, but the White House is being run by two major groups. It's the Kinley-Enron group that's been catastrophic to our economy, and it's this right-wing religious fanatical group going against the fanatical Muslims that were so military-like and warlike, looking for battles all over the world, and we're alienating so many people. It's, I just can't imagine that this that we were going to ever get this type of administration.
Mary, you agree or disagree with Alan?
Well, first of all, I would have to take great exception to the fact that the right wing has any sway in this administration. The right wing, the quote, right Christian right, likes to think that Bush is his guy, is their guy, but he's not, because when it comes to their issues, he has been strangely silent on them. In fact, he's been counter to them, but they won't make a peep. They won't say anything because they tried to get him elected, they got him elected, and now he's completely dropped them on their head, and they don't want to admit it.
Let's go to Jeff in North Hollywood. Jeff, you're on with Mary Starrett.
Yes, I really do like what I'm hearing tonight. It's my personal opinion that, first of all, you have to be brain dead not to know that there's a vast right-wing conspiracy out there. I think I'm going to quote Mario Cuomo recently when he said about talk radio and Rush Limbaugh. He said Rush Limbaugh cheats, and so does Sean Hannity and Phil O'Reilly. And I'm going to quote Hillary Clinton, who said years ago when she first entered the White House that Rush Limbaugh has the greatest racket in the world, regardless, because he can say anything he wants to say regardless of the truth. And I think she's been attacked by them ever since because they fear her tremendously. But I like what I'm hearing tonight because talk radio is definitely an entity out there, and it has been drastically, drastically dumbed down in the hands of the right wing. And Mary, I don't know where you're coming from if you're not going to blame the right wing for that.
Well, I don't see the right wing having very much influence in, first of all, Rush Limbaugh, because he's anything but right wing. And as far as what Hillary said and Mario Cuomo said, Mario Cuomo tried to do a radio show, and he fell flat on his face. So, of course, he's going to go after the guy who's the number one talker in the country and put him down. You know, Rush Limbaugh can say what he wants. Obviously, people are listening. Now, I don't buy what he's saying because, as I said, I think he's... I know this is you're going to find this humorous, but I think he's too liberal.
Can I comment on that?
Mm-hmm.
You think he's too liberal?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to know the difference at times when he says things that are tongue-in-cheek or whether he really means them, although he uses it as tongue-in-cheek. You know, I don't know where his real humor lies. You know, a lot of people, including myself, say things sarcastically, but yet we mean it. We can say it humorously, yet we really do mean it.
But you've got all these guys from Limbaugh on down who've become apologists for the Bush White House when they never would have sat by and not criticized Clinton for doing some of the things that Bush has done.
Yeah, but look, you can't use Rush constantly, and I'm on your side, because Rush has been all Republican all the time. You know, you give me 23 minutes, I'll give you 23 minutes of Republican. You know, if Bill Clinton was a Republican, he would have been for him, and if this scenario with George Bush was a Democrat, he would be against the war. I mean, he would be against the administration also.
But we're using the term Republican as if it's any different than Democrat, and we know that...
But to him it is. But to him it is, or at least he's displaying that to the general public.
Well, he's a party hack, and you know, George Bush could say, we got to stand up and say Heil, and Limbaugh would say that's fine because he's a, quote, Republican. But you see, I don't look at that as the be-all, end-all. If someone's a Republican, does that mean that I have to look at what they do and agree with it if it goes against...
No, because you're an independent thinker, and that's the way you should be, and there should be more of you out there. And I, you know, if does it appear to you that you and I are agreeing or disagreeing on a lot of issues here?
Well, I think perhaps what we're disagreeing over, maybe we're the semantics that we're using when we say liberal, conservative, Republican.
Probably, but we're probably coming from the same little hole here.
Absolutely, I think we're agreeing more than we're disagreeing.
Yeah, and also about the people that you mentioned. Those are the right people. Obviously, the highest profile people that you did mention. But they do a good enough job to sway the general public, because when you total up the millions that listen or watch, if you're on television, that's a lot of power to have, isn't it?
Well, the fact is that all these guys have to do is label themselves conservatives, and all the sheeple out there will look at them and go, well, I guess that's what I guess what I have to believe because I'm a conservative, and they never stop to look at some of the things these guys are saying are anything but conservative.
So a personal question that I want to ask, because if you answer it in one direction, it leads to question B, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have children?
Yes, I do.
How old are they?
28, and I have a granddaughter.
Okay. All right, so you have one child that's 28, then you have grandchildren, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your grandchildren are probably small, I would assume.
Two.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Let's go to the 28. The 28-year-old, male or female?
Female.
Okay. While she was growing up, did she get from you the same type of fervor towards this type of a discussion?
Yes, and it came from my father, who was one of the founders of the New York State Conservative Party, which is a bona fide party there. And I think what happens is it sort of gets passed down from generation to generation. I don't know whether it's in the DNA or what, but when you are around that, where you're constantly politically motivated and you're taught to be a critical thinker and an independent thinker, you can't help but turn out that way as well.
And it works in reverse. If you come from a family that doesn't really give a rat's ass about politics or care what's going on outside of their own world, and that means just their own world, there's a good chance that the offspring that grow up in that home will never really understand or have any sense of history or what is going on or care what's going on around them in the real world.
Absolutely.
So, how long do you want to stay with us, by the way?
You know, I can stay with you till my cordless phone goes dead. How's that?
Well, I don't know how you charged it.
And, you know, it's been on charge all day, Lee, so we got, you know.
All right. Well, we're certainly going to come back and take some phone calls. We have a full board lit for you. So when we come back, we'll go to the phone lines and see what the general public has to say of what we've been discussing. Our guest is Mary Starrett. We are talking about the media. We are talking about the sheeple, as she put it. I like to put it a different way, but that's the only thing we disagree on, the terms. I'm Lee Klein. You're listening to KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Benjamin Dover.
Do you know how to tell if your insurance company is about to go broke? I'm going to show you how to avoid
love. We are back to KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Mary Starrett is our guest. Would you like to dance, Mary?
Love to dance. Is this a slow dance?
Yeah, no, it's a fast dance.
Because you know what? The nuns at Our Lady of Angels in Brooklyn had a real thing about slow dances.
Well, being Jewish and being from New York, I never really went to your school.
No, you didn't. But where in New York, may I ask?
Manhattan.
Oh, okay. Well, I was over the bridge, you know.
Yeah, well, we needed a tetanus shot to go see you. And we both needed visas to go to Staten Island.
And, well, you know what's going on in Staten Island these days. You wouldn't want to go there and breathe the fumes.
Well, that's where they dumped everything from 9/11.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to a cell phone and talk to, I'm imagining the name is Majid. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Good. Go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, Michael. Mr. Lee Klein, I enjoyed your show, and I think you guys are doing a terrific job.
Thank you.
This is regarding about Michael Savage. Michael Savage is a radical infidel warmonger whose objective is to stare and sway people into supporting war. He's dangerous and should be banned from radio, and his startup TV show on MSNBC coming up, in about a week or so. One of his radio shows, he says, that was about 2 weeks ago, he says, this one is about oil. What's wrong with that? One more thing. This is regarding the world order. The world order for who? For whose sake? Is it for one nation or the order for equality and fairness for all people, you know, everywhere?
Well, I think Mary, you can answer that pretty briefly. I don't think it's for each and every. You know, it's for our own self interest or the corporate self interest. And take a look at gas, Mary. You're in Oregon right now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Gas right now, if you're using Super, the 91 octane,
mm-hmm.
if you're paying under $2 in Southern California, it would be $1.98, $1.99. That's the cheapest you can get it. It's up to $2.15 to $2.20 right now. That's for 91 octane. How much is it up in Oregon right now?
Boy, you know what? I do not pay attention, but I know it's been going through the roof in a lot of the western states, and I think it's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
It is up 40 to 50 cents in the last 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, manipulation, we don't have to go any further. I'm sure you're in agreement. It's more manipulated than anything else.
No question about it.
Let's go to Randy on the cell phone. Randy, you're on KFI.
Hi, it's fascinating to listen to you because you're very conservatively, you're from the middle. I'm probably the most liberal of the three, and we agree on almost every point. The fascinating thing with this, the current, you can't call them press, the influential shapers of the public opinion, the Hannity's, the Limbaugh's, and the O'Reilly's, they all seem to talk off the same talking point sheet every morning. If you take the time to listen to Ari Fleischer's morning briefing to the press, he lays out the agenda for the day. You can flip over to Rush and he'll talk about exactly the same points, pushing exactly the same agenda in exactly the same way. Hannity will then do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, but Randy, you have to assume that the White House, whether it's Ari Fleischer's staff or somebody there, faxes this information or emails it to these people.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. But the point is, with these people being so influential in shaping public opinion today within the United States, and the people listening to them, they assume these people to be the legitimate press, journalists who are willing to look at the underlying causes and reasons for those points. And so the people that listen to them assume them to be valid points. Nobody questions the underlying motivation.
I agree with you, Randy. Mary, is shill the wrong term? Is that an over-exaggeration?
I like to use the word lapdog. I mean, they're all lapdogs for this administration. And you have to understand, I'm speaking from a conservative perspective, and yet they are big. They get, it's almost like they get a printout every day. Disagree with this, don't agree with, agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody asks the tough questions. You never hear these guys asking the tough questions. They wouldn't dare.
Well, I don't have many politicians on because I dread them, and they probably wouldn't come on. We have asked a few. Because I go directly. And I don't try to go for the jugular to make them look foolish in any way, shape, or form. I just want to get to the bottom and to know the truth. And that's one thing politicians have a habit of, and that's evading the truth.
Well, you never get a straight answer at them.
Well, that's why they're politicians.
That's right.
That's also why we have such a small and minor percentage of the people that can vote that vote in every general election. It's getting worse and worse. It's going to come down to the point that it's only going to take 3 votes to win, you and your family, if you're running for election, because nobody else is going out to vote except those that are running.
But people who are going to the polls aren't seeing really a hair's breadth of difference between the candidates and their position. So really, what choice do they have except to go third party, and then they're told that wastes their vote? But it really doesn't, because if enough people, voted for a third party candidate, they think that's the choice.
Well, I think we had a shot back in the early 90s when the little man with ears was putting his money behind a third party. The problem is, he was the one who was running on the third party because of his ego. Had he put his money into it and not put himself into it, there could have been at least the start of at least a decade ago, the base of a third party that may have been able to cling on a decade later and grow in strength.
But there's so much power between the Democrats and the Republicans, and they're all in it to stay in office, that there's never going to be an opportunity for somebody to come along who even has a prayer, because they won't allow them in the debate. Look what they did to, Alan Keyes. Mm-hmm. They arrested him as he was walking into the debate.
I know.
They said, you can't go in there.
I know. I agree with you. I agree. I mean, I think the debate should be open to a lot of different things, and people that are fools should be exposed, even if third party and fourth party candidates are foolish people. Let us know they are.
But let us hear, like, what Steve Forbes had to say. Let us hear what Howard Phillips had to say. Let us hear what Pat Buchanan had to say. But they shut them down as if they're not an option.
Well, Pat Buchanan's had his chance, and I agree with a lot of what he says, believe it or not, because he's been on CNN and for so many years. A lot of people, you can't open it up to every single voice, but you do want a plethora out there of different versions.
Yeah, give me an option.
Yeah. Let's go to San Diego and talk to Mike. Mike, welcome. You're on KFI.
Hey, thanks, Lee. Thanks very much. You have a great show. You always do. I wish you were on more often.
Thank you.
I take a little bit of offense to being thought of, and I know that it's just a word, but to anybody that thinks that we're out here, that the general public is out here as sheep, like we don't have the ability to make decisions based on what we the intake of information that we get during the day, whether it comes from CNN or Fox or Dick Gephardt or Colin Powell, doesn't make a difference. I make my own decisions. Rush Limbaugh, your show, whatever, are entertaining shows. They're entertaining, and I like to listen to your show because it stimulates me to make decisions.
Good.
And I make the decision, I make my own opinion based on my decision of the facts that I get from the media. Thank God for the media, because if it wasn't for the media, I wouldn't have an input of information other than my neighbor next door.
And I not only do I agree with what you're saying, and unfortunately you're in the minority. And I think that's what Mary and I were alluding to.
Probably.
Wouldn't you agree to that, Mary?
Yes, but I the only thing I would say, you know, with regard to this caller is that he obviously is somebody who thinks, but if you say the only information I get is from the mainstream media and based on that information I make my decisions, I think you're not getting all of the facts.
Well, speaking of the facts, we're going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to ask you the question for the second time, because I'm going to ask it to you for the first time without an answer now. Where do you get your information? We come back, we're going to find out where Mary gets her information, and she makes her judgment and decisions on. I'm Lee Klein, and you're listening to KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Wayne Resnick.
Imagine a sick, twisted kiddie porn movie where the plot has the government urging young children to experiment with oral sex.
Bring in the air. There's magic everywhere. When you're young and in love, life seems to be a world of fantasy. When you're young and in love.
Welcome back to KFI M640, more stimulating talk radio. Mary Starrett is our guest tonight. We're talking about the media. Where we last left off, we asked Mary, where do you get your information from, which I think is appropriate to ask. Mary, what do you research? How do you find out what you know?
All right. Well, to be specific, there are certain websites I go to every day. I go to Drudge, which just kind of gives you an overview of what the popular culture and popular interest is. After that, I go to Infowars.com. Alex Jones, who is a talk show host and investigative reporter.
He's in Texas, isn't he?
Right.
He's been a guest twice on my show.
Has he? Yeah. He's, shall we say, very exuberant about his beliefs. I go to something called StrataWire, which is StrataWire.com, and that's John Rappaport, who used to have a website called NoMoreFakeNews.com. I go to GulfWarVets.com, which is Joyce Riley heads it up, and she's the gal who's really looked into this Gulf War syndrome and a lot of that stuff. I go to I go to the source a lot of times. I used to go to WorldNet Daily and Newsmax. They seem to have veered off course, so I don't even bother with them anymore. But, for instance, I do a lot of research and have talked a lot about pharmaceutical drugs and some of the side effects people don't know about Ritalin and ADHD and how that's just a big fraud. So what I do is I really research from the pharmaceutical information itself what these drugs are doing and the stuff that people don't know about. And basically, I try to go to the source whenever I can because it's got no spin on it that way. The New American is a great publication. Anything that's not corporately owned, I find you're going to get, there's no agenda there.
You go to Rents.com?
I haven't in a while, but he's got some good stuff on it.
Tell us real quickly about NewsWithViews.com because you write for that and you didn't mention that.
NewsWithViews.com is more in line with, I believe, the independent thought, and that has a lot of different writers. It has Jeff Metcalf. It has a number of people who are writing, again, mostly from an investigative, independent standpoint, so they don't have an agenda, and you've got a variety of different people with a variety of different subjects that Chuck Baldwin, that they focus on what is their particular area of interest, and it was started by a gentleman gentleman in southern Oregon who came here from, I believe, from Yugoslavia, and he began to see what was going on in this country because he had just left that kind of tyranny. And so he's become kind of a patriot, I guess you could say. And I started, you know, talking to him and finding out what he was all about, and he really does have his act together.
We had, it was about maybe a year or so ago, or maybe even longer, that we had somebody else from News with Views on, and that was Charlotte Eiserbeck.
Oh, she's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So you're the second female from News with Views that we've had on.
Yeah, Charlotte is great, and I've probably had her on 24 times while I was on the radio because she gives you the information that you're not going to hear anyplace else.
In passing, and obviously this is a loaded question, but since you appear to be honest, I want you to be very direct. The program that you're on now, first off, KFI happens to be the number one station in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to be 50,000 watts, so it's heard. We get calls from Oregon.
That's right.
We had a call from Wyoming. Occasionally we'll get some calls from the internet, from a lot further away or out of the country, but it's a very well-respected station, not just being the best, but it happens to be very well-respected around the country. Are you surprised or shocked that a show such as you and I are doing right now is on such a large a station in such a large metropolitan area?
No, because I don't think that, in other words, it's not a regular diet. In other words, if I were, I would never be allowed to do a program on KFI because I believe that it would be too controversial, or it would be something that, as far as the corporate imprimatur, I wouldn't have it, I wouldn't get it, and I wouldn't last.
Well, then, but what is it that you would be doing that I haven't done for the last 2 years?
Well, I'm not familiar with what your subject matter has been, but I would be bringing up things that people would dismiss as conspiracy theories.
I.e.?
Well, for instance, I had Randy Weaver on my program, and I got more hate mail about why are you having this white supremacist on? The guy's wife was shot in the head. Why did you have him on? And how dare you question the conclusion to TWA 800? How dare you question the conclusion?
But I had a show for 3 hours with an author of the book about Flight 800, the TWA Flight 800, over a year ago. I've had guests on all of these subject matters. I'm not sure. That's why I use the word I think. I'm not so sure that you wouldn't fit in because your show wouldn't be that much different, if any different, other than a female voice and a male voice saying the same things that I've been doing.
Well, I'm encouraged to hear that because at a station of this caliber, to be able to talk about these things and to do it without getting hauled in and getting your hand slapped and being told not to do it anymore, I was hauled in on September 11th because I questioned prior knowledge. And anytime you bring up, government foreknowledge of 911, so to be able to do what you're doing, I think it's vital.
Look, I've said this many times, the government has hacked into my computer before, but I have nothing to hide, and to be honest with you, to know that they did that is a good thing, because then I know that they're doing their job when they're actually hacking into the right people's computer to find real stuff to go after.
Yeah, but why are they hacking into your computer? Because you bring up questions?
No. Maybe because of some of the things that they saw at the time, and if I were them, I would have hacked me too. I would have gone after it because of certain key words that I had stored in my document file. What I did was I downloaded every single newspaper in the United States on the 12th of September, the front page for posterity. So I must have had 40 or 50 headlines, with the famous picture of the two buildings crashing or the planes going into it, horrific as it was, and they took them away. They took them away, and then they put them back, and then they took them away again. They just don't disappear.
Yeah, but you know why they did that? I mean, look at the information about the Pentagon officials who had canceled travel plans. That was in Newsweek. Boy, that story disappeared. And the story in the San Francisco Chronicle about the mayor being told, not to get on the flight that day, that story disappeared.
No, but back up for a second here. What I'm saying is, indeed, I want people to respect my privacy, especially the government. today with Carnivore, today with all of the Patriot Act, which basically they were doing anyway without the Patriot Act. They didn't need the Patriot Act. They just had the Patriot Act to make it more legal. I mean, they were still doing it, and we're going to continue doing what they were doing with all of the equipment that they have, regardless of whether the Patriot Act was passed or not. But nonetheless, if I looked at I, who is a nobody, an absolute nobody to the government, and a nobody as far as spreading any sort of bad rumors or causing terror or anything of that nature, if they want to go into my computer, then I know that they're doing their job. Now,
yeah, but what happened to the Fourth Amendment, and what happened to the fact
that... I know, I agree, but I'm not going to stand on principle that if there's terrorism around the corner, I expect the government to do something, even if it's against the constitutional rights that I hold so highly. What are you going to do? If you do nothing, then you do nothing. I don't want this war. I don't want this war at all. However, I would like to have the cells exposed that are within this country.
You just said something which is probably the first thing I've disagreed with you about all night, and you say that if you have to go against my constitutional guarantees, well, so be it. We're in a war, and that's where I would vehemently.
But you know, if this is where if this is where we deviate, that's fair and that's fine, because I respect what you're saying, and I didn't think I would ever be saying what I'm saying, but I'm not going to fight to the death about the rights of somebody that wants to kill me for his rights under that same constitutional right. I would rather give up that freedom, hopefully momentarily, in order for him to be captured and then re-garner that amendment right back.
It's never anything that's been
happening. I know. It's like taxation. I know. But at the same time, listening to you, Mary, that means this country would absolutely do nothing in order to root out any sort of terrorism whatsoever, whether it comes from Central L.A. because it's the Crips and the Bloods, or whether because it's communism or Muslim terrorists and cells from Al-Qaeda or God knows who, or from Hamas someplace else. The government's got to do something in order to do something.
Well, you know, by that token, in other words, you know, we let the guy with the fuses on his shoes get on the plane, but the grandmother has a full body cavity search, so the government's doing something, but they're not doing
anything. All right. Look. Let's put it this way. It's not a minor issue, but, you know, no two people and no two snowflakes are identical. I would like to at least think that the tax dollars from the oxymoron Homeland Security, which to me is a joke, but nonetheless, if they're hiring people and they're paying them with our taxpayers' money, I would at least like to know that they are doing something in order to do to protect us, other than us putting up duct tape and plastic.
Well, let's just agree to disagree on that point.
All right. It's fair. And I understand your point of view, that if you give one write-up, then it's like Pac-Man, where does it end? And I understand that. I understand that, and I agree with that. I just want to hear you say you at least understand where I'm coming from and why.
Boy, no, because I think about the hard...
You don't? No, you don't understand why? I'm not asking you to agree. You don't understand why I'm saying what I'm saying?
I'm actually a little surprised, just in the few minutes that we've had to spend together, that you would be so willing to give up a guarantee, a constitutional...
Wait. But you're saying it's like we're up against the clock here when we come back. It's not a carte blanche that I'm doing. I'm just naming that we have to do something. We have to do something. And if it means going into your computer to find out whether you're a good guy or a bad guy, so be it. You know, if you got pornography, you know, fine. If you got child pornography, you know what? You shouldn't have it. You know, if you're a pedophile, they find out other information. If that should be used against you or for you out there, you know, that's up to you. But we're talking about terrorism. We're not talking about anything else but terrorism. Terrorism. I'm Lee Klein. You're listening to KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Benjamin Dover.
Do you know how to tell if your insurance company is about to go broke? I'm going to show you how to avoid the shock of insurer insolvency.
Benjamin Dover, tomorrow, 7 to 9 a.m. on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Traffic presented by Mercedes-Benz.
It is 11:46 in the KFI Traffic Center. Pomona 10 West connected to the 57 South. Looks like a pickup truck and maybe a van smacked together. Or...
Oh,
Welcome back to KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Mary, I played that song for you. You know where that group was from?
Brooklyn.
Nope. Staten Island.
Oh, Staten Island.
Yeah.
Really? Anything good came out of Staten Island?
Just that song, I'm sorry to say. And Great Kills.
One-hit wonders.
at one time, that was the largest-selling one-hit wonder of all time. And then, of course, the singing nun came along and destroyed that. All right, let's move along here. Let's take a few more phone calls. Bill is in the South Bay. Bill, welcome to KFI. You're on with Mary Starrett.
Hi there. How are you, Mary?
I'm fine.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm going to make a comment, but first I'm going to say I'm listening to that song by The Elegants from 1958, and number one, and then Tommy Edwards' number one hit from 1958. I will take songs like that any day over our pop culture today, because back then there was romance and the songs were uplifting instead of all this negative stuff now. And singers like that Tommy Edwards knew how to put a ballad across. Today, these singers, to me, cannot sing like that. That's just my opinion, but that's how I feel.
By the way, the Tommy Edwards record was one of the very first records ever released in stereo, even though you couldn't hear it on stereo,
yep.
on radio. If you still have the 45, it is in stereo.
Yeah, it was number one September 29th, 1958, a great song.
Well, Mary, isn't this interesting to you?
You guys know your music so fast.
Well, you see, back then, Eminem wouldn't have made it on the air. You see, that's how things have changed. You know, you had to have you had to have some talent, you see. That was the difference, you know.
The day the music died, Mary, is when they took Napster off.
Well, I was gonna make a comment here. I've listened to some of the callers tonight, and I listen to people oftentimes, you know, blame everything on the right and the left, and I really get tired of that. I think of a quote from John Kennedy. He said, "Party loyalty asks too much of us," and what he was getting at is that partisanship is not every issue. It can be boiled down to partisan issues. I call them Demublicans or Republicrats, whatever, take your pick, okay? And the bottom line is that when the media is corporate run, it doesn't see left, right, liberal, or conservative, you know? You mentioned, for example, Joyce Riley or Colonel David Hackworth or Michelle Malkin, you know, she wrote that book Invasion. Michelle Malkin criticizes both parties equally in her book. She's very critical of them. She's an independent thinker. Her family, of course, originally came from the Philippines and became U.S. citizens. So when I listen to her and Hackworth and Joyce Riley, I see issues, people becoming sick with chemical exposure and immigration as being major issues that defy ideology or labels, you know. And, I mean, labels belong on maybe food and clothing, but they don't belong on people and ideas. And both of these parties will not deal with immigration, and we know why. And Lee, by the way, to his credit, is right on this issue all the time. And we know why, because of political expediency and many other things. And they won't talk about the chemical exposure situation with the soldiers or people from 9/11 who were, you know.
It would open up and bankrupt this country. Right now, one-third of all of the Gulf War soldiers are on some sort of disability.
Right, exactly. And so the thing about it is that what people have to stop doing, and I think this is a tragedy, I think that my generation, the baby boomers, and our elders who went through the war and the Depression were mistakenly raised up to be partisan. Either I'm Democrat, good, if you're a Democrat, good, Republican stink, vice versa. And I made a point to somebody. I said, you know, John Kennedy and Barry Goldwater were very good friends, okay? They were going to run against each other in 64 and take money out of their own pocket, not the taxpayers, on an airplane, and they agreed on certain subjects, and they were going to run a civil campaign. And I'm saying that politics, so yet Goldwater was plastered, you know, by people as being an extremist, and then later on they ended up respecting him. And Kennedy was nothing like the current Democratic Party, you know, for example. So people, when they put labels on things, they box everything in, and it makes everything so narrow, and it doesn't allow for a discussion about issues and coming up with solutions. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think you're right. I think that Republicans and Democrats are just basically two wings on the same bird. And if you look at the voting records and you look at the issues, they're all there to get reelected. And so really the political consequences be damned. So, yeah, I think for anymore, these labels mean absolutely nothing. But I would disagree with you and say we need to get a little bit more partisan, because unless you have a disagreement, you really don't have a choice. You don't have a difference of opinion, and without that difference of opinion, you really don't have. You can't go either way.
Yeah, but Mary, to prove a point, you and I agree more than we disagree.
Yes.
And although you are, quote, shocked or surprised, I forgot the term, about the amendment that I was talking about that would be breached, would that mean that you and I then no longer could be under the same label because I am a rebel in comparison to you on that subject matter?
No, because you might have to label yourself more liberal. I might label myself more conservative. I might say that what I do is the template that I base everything on politically and any other way has to do with the Constitution. And you could dip anything you want in terrorism, but if it in any way varies from what the tenets of the Constitution are, that's where I say that's where I would draw my line in the sand.
Well, all right, so let me ask you a question. If you knew that we could catch every single terrorist in this country by wiretapping everybody, would you say yes or no?
No.
See, I would have to disagree.
You could stop crime right now, Lee, by putting a policeman outside everybody's door. I don't want to live in a police state.
But you see, you take it to the extreme. You take it,
you used an extreme by saying if we wiretapped every phone, we could catch every terrorist. I'm sorry.
No, I used that as an example, and you came back with an extreme of why you wouldn't want to have it. You said no. Well, you know, there's people out there that would be in your camp, and there's other people out there that would be in my camp.
Yes.
And again, we shouldn't be at odds against each other, but if the goal is to end terrorism, I'm at least throwing something out. What are you throwing out?
What I'm throwing out is that the more and more we use terrorism as an excuse to stomp on civil liberties, we're doing nothing to catch terrorists, but what we're doing is we're making the average American less and less free.
Well, or more and more paranoid for no reason.
Well, yeah, these citrus-colored, Uncle Tom's color-coded terrorists.
Ridiculous. Didn't I say oxymoron? When I said Homeland Security, it's a joke.
Yeah.
So I think you and I agree on an awful lot, and because we, not everybody's going to see eye to eye with everything. You and your daughter can't see eye to eye.
Boy, that's for sure.
Well, there you go. So I'll consider myself, since I wasn't raised by you, and you and I see eye to eye. It's a wonderful world out there, Mary.
You know what, Lee, though? I think if I had raised you, you might agree with me on this constitutional thing.
If you would raise me. All right. We're gonna just put a hold on that as you raise me, okay? Would I have gone to catechism? Would that have been mandatory?
I'm a recovering Catholic, and yes, you would have had to go to 12 years of Catholic school.
Which meant that I would have been recovering along with you.
That's right.
I would have hated your guts because you would have forced me into something that later you would have probably had to admit was wrong.
Right on.
And suppose I was pedophiled there.
Oh, yeah, and chances are good you would have been.
Yeah. Well, I'm not that good looking. Okay. I think we're taking this in the wrong direction right here, but at least a little humor, if people will take it that way at midnight here on the West Coast, I think that at least would be lightening up, because the subject matter that we're talking about is really the lead-in to what's going to happen. And believe me, I can guarantee that your answer is going to be no, and that would be, do you really want war?
No.
Exactly. And so I think there's a lot of us out there that don't want war, and there's a lot of us that do. And once again, we're right back to the beginning of the conversation, which started quite a while ago, which is a breaking of camp where you have a line divided in the sand, and you literally have forces in this country that are both good people against each other. Why? Divide and conquer. If divide and conquer is the way for this government to do it, then they're doing one hell of a job, because they got it just about split down the middle. It's about as close as the election was in the year 2000, because you almost have half the people wanting war, and the other half not wanting war at all. I'm Lee Kwan, you're listening to KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Put your dishes in your dishwasher, not your motherboard, Michael.
Computer Class 101.
Thank you.
You are listening to KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. This will be our final segment with our guest. Our guest is Mary Starrett, talking about the media, amongst other things. Mary, why don't we go to a couple of phone calls here before you and I wrap things up and you can go to sleep and I still have to work.
Okay.
Let's go to Marty in Shadow Hills. Marty, where is Shadow Hills at?
Hello?
Hello, Marty.
How you doing?
Where is Shadow Hills?
Shadow Hills is off of Sunland Boulevard between the 5 and the 210.
I see. Okay.
Almost property, really nice. At least that's kept secret.
Well, obviously, because even I don't know where it is.
It is just heaven on earth there. You got to check it out. Anyway, pleasure to talk to you. I often disagree with you. And, you know, there's this one, a lot of times I hear people calling into talk shows that I listen to, and I go, well, if you disagree with them, why do you listen to them? But the reason why I listen to you is because I feel that you're honest and you don't have some weird kind of agenda, and that I do feel that a lot of places we do agree. But funny how in my head I think more, oh, what about the thing that we disagree on? Because I think that's the way, this is what Mary's talking about here. And the reason why I do listen to these so-called conservative talk show hosts is because I don't feel like any of my opinion gets on the news or talk show ever if I don't. I mean, yeah, I feel like I'm settling for it. Yeah, and she's right. They're not speaking for me, but it's the closest I can get.
But understand that I have never, ever gone on the air a day in my life and said that I'm speaking for anybody other than me.
Oh, I agree. That's why I dig you.
And I'm just giving out my opinion, and for people to agree or disagree is up to you to decide, not to make me right or wrong, but I'm giving out information, and if you believe it, fine. If you don't believe it, that's fine too, but at least know why you don't believe it and back it up, because I back up my statements of some credibility. And if you believe in another way, you're entitled to it, just as Mary and I have a disagreement on an issue here and there. But you're never going to find two people, Marty. I'm sure that if I left you in a room with Mary and Mary raged you instead of me, you would find that the two of you disagree on issues.
I could tell you, I already disagree with her. I would rather have my phone tapped in a heartbeat and feel safer. Even if I'm not safer, I want to feel safer. To me, that's valuable.
Well, I mean, all right, but then you and I would disagree, as you said, on other issues.
I agree, but the point here is that the way you deal with the person, like even right now, I'm going like, hey, man, most of the time I disagree with you, you're fair about it, you're willing to hear the guy's thing. If he doesn't back it up, yeah, you do blow brain a little bit sometimes and scream at people. I can relate to that, too. I'm sitting here screaming at him, too.
Well, some of the people that call, I mean, have their own mind made up, and they won't listen to anything else, and they just want to tell me off, and then there's other that are, that's the way life is.
Yeah.
That's just the way life is, and you have to take it. And sometimes I don't take it personally. I take it passionately when I start yelling.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I yell. I take it passionately when I tell people, you know, to shut the hell up because they're not listening.
That's what makes it sellable. That's why I buy what you're saying, is because you're so passionate about it. And I go, cool, hey, at least this guy believes it. Now, take the other hand, Rush Limbaugh, or, for instance. Does he really believe what he's saying? Granted, I like to listen to conservative stuff, and I mean, that's just for the sake of saying it, as conservative as I can get, because it's not anywhere near. I could hear Pat Buchanan all day long. That's how far to the right I am. But I don't feel like Rush is honest.
In the fact that he believes in what he is saying?
No, I feel like he's just, like you said, he's Republican, 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 and how can you be honest with that? I mean, the Republicans are wrong a lot, so much.
To me, I mean, I respect him as a broadcaster, but he's a one-trick pony.
Yeah, I agree. Yet there's other people that I hear that I feel they're a little more open-minded and present it, like Larry Elder. I mean, I dig him because he comes in with intellectual honesty that I feel. And, you know, we're all biased, but at least let's admit it. And you know, that way we can actually have discourse and feel good about ourselves when we're done, instead of just feeling like you're some paid off pimp, you know?
Well, I understand that. By the way, Mary, if there's anybody out there, any corporation with big, big, big money, I can be a pimp. I can change. But it's got to be for the right. I can be bought. I'll be honest with you. We all have a price. Mine comes very, very high. And if it does, I'd be more than willing to take that money and leave. Just kidding. Or maybe not. What will people do for money? How far will they sell themselves out?
You have to do is watch Celebrity Survivor and you'll see what people will do for money.
Well, look at what they watch on television, Joe Millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the same thing. Joe Millionaire appeals to such a stupid group of people, and if I offend people, thank you, you're welcome. The fact is you have money-grubbing women, you have a guy that is a liar, and you have a corporation behind it that is pimping and prospering off of high ratings and selling it. Now,
what's amazing is that any way to start a relationship? This whole thing with these two people is based on lies and money.
Well, isn't that what real life is?
Yeah, pretty much.
There you go. Okay, so you know what? Here it is. It's another reality show. That's unfortunate. Do you realize how far our morals have gone? Down the road, they don't even exist anymore compared to old school. It's unreal.
Well, when you watch shows where the Bachelorette and the Bachelor, and then a week later he dumps her and he's picking somebody up in a bar, and this gal picks between these two guys, and that's the basis for they're going to spend their lives together. It's just so phony and it's so absurd, and we buy it.
I think that if there's anything really wrong with the media other than what we've been discussing, it's the fact that the media, especially television, plays to such the lowest common denominator of a third grade reader.
But look at the numbers, though, Lee. I mean, everybody's watching this garbage.
Right, because everybody's stupid in this country, and you know it, Mary.
Right on.
Not everybody, not people, anybody that calls and that's offended that if you're stupid, you're not. If you're not offended and I say you're stupid, you are.
But you know what? People who listen to talk radio are not the average bear. They're smarter. They're better educated. They make more money.
I love, even when they disagree and I get hate mail, I love my audience because people that stay up late, and that's why I love late night radio and always did even as a kid growing up, those that don't sleep, those that can't sleep, those that stay up late, those that work the night shift, those people that are not in bed and asleep at 10 o'clock at night that are listening to a radio or listening as they fall asleep, I find that as a compliment because they are listening. And those people that do that, I respect, and they are a different breed and they are more intelligent. They are not the people that are in a Trailways or a Greyhound bus station that are homeless living in an orange box.
No, and they're not sitting there night after night after night in front of the television watching what's being cranked out. Those who listen to talk radio, and you're right, especially at night, are more critical thinkers.
And that I accept, and that's part of the deal. That's part of the deal that they have to accept with me, and part of the deal and the bargain that I have to accept their opinions and who they are, too.
I agree.
Would you be a guest at another point of time?
I would love to. I've enjoyed it, and it's been great. Great discourse, and loved your callers and all the line of questioning. So, yeah, anytime, give me a holler.
I will. In fact, there's a lot of people left that did not get a chance that I'll have to take their phone calls instead. But I want to thank you anyway, and we shall do this again. And I want to thank you because your beauty sleep needing 12, 14 hours a day?
14 hours would be good, and now you're cutting into it, so I need to get to bed. But I hope you have a great rest of the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you very much. I want you to hang on. My producer wants to talk, okay?
Alrighty.
Thank you. Mary Sarrett, I want to thank you very much for staying on as long as she did. Very interesting, and we will have her back at another point of time. I'm Lee Klein, and you are listening to KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.